Welcome to episode 275 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or you're just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. And we'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, George, Elizabeth, and Sandy. And tonight we're also joined by a very, very special guest, our fellow Outlander travel agent, Kristen. Yay!
Hey!
She's waving.
As Walt Disney sat on a bench in Griffith Park in Los Angeles while watching his daughters ride the nearby carousel, he had an idea. He said, I felt that there should be something built where the parents and the children could have fun together. Walt's dream became a reality on July 17, 1955, with the opening of Disneyland Park. And since 1955, Disneyland Park has gone through numerous renovations and expansions and now includes two theme parks, three hotel complexes, and the Downtown Disney Entertainment dining and shopping area. Kristen had the opportunity to attend a Disney agent education program at Disneyland Resort, and this was her first visit to Disneyland, and we're excited to hear her thoughts, so let's get started.
All right, first of all, we're all totally jealous, but this is just a preview, because we're all going to go in like...
in September!
Yes, yay!
Yay!
Podcast audience, be ready. We're going to talk about it again.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen, this was your first time, right?
Yeah, very first time. Never been before.
So you're a big Walt Disney World fan, right?
Huge Walt Disney World fan. So super excited to see what Disneyland had to offer so I can compare, contrast, and see what the differences are between the two world and land, as they call them. So very, very exciting, a very, very honored experience to get to go.
That's awesome. So where did you stay? You stayed at the Disneyland Resort?
I stayed at the Disneyland Resort, the iconic, yes, been around for a long time. The room was fantastic. Very, very nice resort. I was very pleased.
Did you see the fireworks? Did you do the little headboard fireworks thing?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So each room has the fireworks over top of the bed. You push the little button and it's kind of like Tinkerbell magically lights up the castle over top of your bed. I loved it. I'm such a huge Disney fan, so it doesn't take much for me. But it also plays A Dream Is Your Wish Your Heart Makes. So it's just beautiful. Very, very, very Disney.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend who walked down the aisle to that song.
Really?
Oh, I would not blame her. It's one of my favorite songs. So I was very honored to get to have it in my own personal bedroom.
Well, I think the first question is, since most of us are East Coasters, all of us on the podcast tonight are, for those of us who go to Walt Disney World all the time, do you feel like a trip to Disneyland is something that a Disney fan needs to do, or does Walt Disney?
Absolutely. Yes. Experience those parks. See what they all have to offer. Of course, now I've got to get to the Paris and Shanghai and, you know, I've got to cross them all off the list now, right? And now I've started. But yeah, I think it's really cool just to see the different things. And actually, because it was Walt's park, he actually walked through the streets of Disneyland. And that to me is incredible. So just to get to experience that and see that, yes, absolutely. Go see Disney World, but also go enjoy Disneyland.
Because it's a little different. I mean, people think that it's just kind of like Magic Kingdom, but it's not. There's some good differences there.
So what would you...
Yeah, it was very different. I liked that it was more... Everything was close proximity. Mm-hmm. So everything's right there together. So because I had the fortunate opportunity to stay at Disneyland Hotel, I was literally 10 minutes from both parks walking. I mean, that's incredible. When you come from Disney World... You know, it takes that long for me to walk to a bus to then have to, you know, ride the bus to the park. So that to me was amazing. You know, if you have young children, you know, maybe have somebody that has some walking conditions, things like that. It was just very nice. I mean, I have a picture of me standing in California Adventure, and I took a picture of the entrance to Disneyland park itself. And that was really cool. I'm like, I can walk to each one and enjoy both parks all in one day. So I really like that about it.
So do you really need a ticket then for both days? I mean, could you do all of it in one day?
You could, but, you know, kind of tight. I mean, it is much smaller than Disney World. So, you know, maybe you don't need those 5-6 days. I mean, you like you do at Disney World where you feel like you've got to get extra days. So, yeah, but I do think the park hoppers are fantastic to have still in Disneyland where you can get back and forth between the parks because they are so close. You can definitely, you know, enjoy the morning in one, enjoy the afternoon in the other, you know, maybe see one staying up open a little bit later than the other park. But yeah, I still would recommend park hoppers for Disneyland, for any age, actually, not just for the older group of children or adults or whatever. I would recommend it even for smaller kids too.
Yeah, it is so much easier to park hop there. So it really is just taking a few steps across the way. I mean, it's even a smaller distance than Universal Orlando.
Oh, yeah. And with Max Pass, you can be in one park and make fast passes for the other park. So
absolutely. I love, love, love Max Pass. I would love if Disney World could actually accommodate that. I don't know if they could because there's so many more people at Disney World and the different, you know, there's more parks there too. But MaxPass was fantastic. I did get the opportunity to use that, and I love it. I love that as soon as I went through those turnstiles, as soon as I activated my ticket, I was able to start making my fast passes. That was incredible. I didn't have to go to the kiosk because I had MaxPass. Now, if you don't have MaxPass, you can't do that. So you have to go to a kiosk to actually get your fast pass. So having MaxPass definitely worth that extra money that you're going to pay.
And the fact that MaxPax also comes with basically PhotoPass, yep, kind of bundled in together for, yep, that. For that price, I'm still surprised they haven't raised the price on MaxPass yet.
Well,
yeah.
So there's a couple ways to look at that, though. Is it still $10 per person per day?
It's actually $15, I believe, per person per day.
They did raise it.
Sad. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, they did raise it just by a little bit. But honest again, I mean, even like the pictures are an added bonus. Yes, it's not like so much like Disney World where you're seeing PhotoPass photographers every 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, at Disneyland, you're kind of taking the pictures a little bit more yourself because the characters are more out and about than they are at Disney World. But just having that fast pass access immediately and be able to book one within so much time of the second one. So, you know, once you've booked one, you've got about a window of time, about 90 minutes or so that you can then go in and book the second one. I mean, you can have them overlapping times almost sometimes. Sometimes they're super quick to get. You just,
yeah,
kind of have to keep going into the system and it tells you when you can get your next one. And it's just, I really, really liked it.
I love it. But if I'm thinking as somebody with a family of five, if I was going, mm-hmm, 3 days in a row, I'd probably wouldn't do it all 3 days. I probably would pick one day because it's such an extra expense, mm-hmm, you know. That's just me.
Well, I mean, in Disney dollars, it's not that much money. I mean, considering how much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I do understand what you're saying, and it can definitely add up. But when you really sort of take into account how much a Disney vacation is, it's not too, you know, one photo at a ride is $20. Or more.
Yeah.
I would never buy the photos if I didn't have the photo pass, you know, but I do get the photo pass all the time. And even when I don't have an annual pass, I buy the photo pass. So I definitely do that. Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I guess our family of five, that's actually several photo pass costs, really, depending on how long you're going. Yeah.
I mean, what is that? It's like $75 a day. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I probably wouldn't do that every day.
So again, just to recap, MaxPass is done electronically on an app on your phone, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
But fast passes are not, there's no My Disney Experience equivalent really for Disneyland, correct? So you cannot fast passes no matter who you are.
So you can't reserve them ahead of time, anybody. Without MaxPass, you can still get fast passes at land. But you have to go to a kiosk. So it's a paper, insert your ticket, it shoots back out, and it tells you the window of time to come back in. But you have to do that for each ride. Now, keep in mind, not all the rides at Disneyland take fast passes. So you would have to kind of see, okay, Pirates does, so let me get it there. Okay, what other one can I go get that then does it? So it cuts down on that time with already having it electronically through the app. But, you know, to get the paper ones takes more time, you know, more ride time. I'm having to go get those papers versus, okay, I'm just going into my app while I'm standing in line for Jungle Cruise. Then I'm just boop, boop, okay, done, you know. Got my next one for Incredicoaster in the other park, which is amazing that you can go back and forth. So I really, really liked it. I mean, I definitely would add it for my family of four, hands down. And not even just because the pictures, that's a great added bonus. But I think because of the simple convenience, I like the convenience factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have to wait anymore.
Like, now that my kids are older and I could send them to the other park and not have to go with them, I probably would.
Yeah. I love convenience.
Time is money.
So, Kristen, do you remember off the top of your head which attractions do not take Fast Pass? And I assume when you say they don't have Fast Pass, that means they don't use Max Pass either. Like, it's just a non-Fast Pass attraction, period.
Like they wouldn't have the picture connected to the ride.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
So I'm saying, if it's not a Fast Pass attraction where you can pull a ticket, it's also not available on Max Pass.
Right. So it would actually say, it will give you what is available on Fast Pass or Max Pass. It will actually give you whatever, not just like maybe at the beginning of the morning. Yeah, you'll see everything that's available. I mean, that's a lot of rides that aren't. There's just a few that aren't. But it'll definitely list what is and isn't available.
Okay. But yeah, just to clarify, what I'm asking is, Rise of the Resistance does not allow Fast Pass at all. Not
right. Right. Neither does Smuggler's Run, for example. Yes. Yeah, those do not. So you would just kind of have to wait and queue for those.
What about the Guardians of the Galaxy ride that I can't remember the official name of right
Escape
now?
From- yes. Yes, it did.
Okay.
That one does include a Fast Pass.
So did they have... Before they added some of that, you could actually sometimes do VIP tours at Disney World to basically get on those rides that you wanted to get on. Do they offer VIP tours at Disneyland as well?
They certainly do. Yeah, they offer lots of different, I shouldn't say lots, but they do offer several different VIP tours. If you would like a VIP guide, of course, you can have that. Depending on how many people you have in your party is how many guides that you would have. They also offer, of course, the iconic walk and waltz footsteps. George, you may have done that one.
I did the Adventures by Disney, so it included a lot of walking and waltz. It did. Well, it's probably a very similar tour. It's just built into ADD versus a separate tour at the park.
Well, yeah, so they do offer that. I'm trying to look at my notes to make sure I saw y'all correctly. But like when you... book a package, there actually includes a discount on some of the tours, like on the walk and waltz footsteps tour. There's a 15% off savings, for example, if you book a package. So that might be something cool to add or somebody, to take you around so you're not waiting in some of the lines quite as long. Of course, I was there at kind of a lower crowd time. Didn't find the lines very bad at all, personally. So
I want to go back to, you said Smuggler's Run, the Millennium Falcon ride, does not have Fast Pass, but they just are starting it in Florida. It doesn't start actually until February. So do you know if they're going to start it in California too?
They did not tell us at the AEP anything about it.
And it wasn't on, I mean, the announcement only said Walt Disney World. So,
Yeah.
I looked very carefully. Really curious about
that. Yeah, and they have a single rider's line. So, of course, that's an option if you're okay not to ride together. There are several other rides that have that too at Disneyland, just kind of like Disney World does.
Yeah.
Do you ride Mr. Toad?
I did, yes. And I was like, I remember being a child again. I had to take pictures of him just because it reminded me of being a kid again. Yes, I loved it.
I love that ride.
I'd forgotten most of what the story was, like most of it was about. So, you know, like riding it all new again.
And you're like, oh my God, we're going to hell.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, this is maybe not child appropriate, but whatever. Yes, I was fine. I survived.
So did you do the new Star Wars rides?
So we were, unfortunately, we were all quite bummed that we could not do Rise of the Resistance. It opened the day that I flew out. So had I have known when I was booking my flights, I would have stayed one extra day. So we were all hoping that that would be something that they would give to us, but unfortunately, they were unable to. I got to walk past it.
Yay!
I waved at the cast members, but yeah.
So have you been
super bummed about that?
Have you been to Galaxy's Edge at Walt Disney World yet?
Yes.
So can you?
Yes. So I was able to go there in September.
Can you compare the two worlds, like size wise? And I mean, do they have basically the same things? Talk a little bit about that.
I would say they're very comparable. I think they're very similar. Now, I thought that Disney World seemed a little bit bigger to me than it did at Land. It could have just been the feel that I was getting that night, though. But I think the ride was, of course, very similar that I rode, because I've ridden it at Disney World and Disneyland now on Smuggler's Run. And I thought that, yes, it is very much the same ride. But the Land, it looked very similar. But again, I thought Disney World was bigger than Disneyland's overall. Galaxy's Edge.
I wonder about that, because Disneyland Park just doesn't seem like it has the space that Hollywood Studios has.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it is a little bit.
Yeah, somebody told me they were the same, but I don't know. I don't remember who told me that. So
yeah, and it could just be that the way that they build it differently, you know, the way that where they put the store versus where they put the store, like the areas that you would walk through as as if you were on, you know, the planet or whatever, shopping. Looked different between the two areas, but
So did you get to see a nighttime show while you were there?
Yes, so I got to see the World of Color.
Yeah, awesome.
Yes, it was really cool. Different than what they have at Disney World. Again, of course, they just keep surprising us with new things, but it was beautiful. It's right in front of the iconic Ferris wheel with Mickey's face on it. And it was fun. I mean, you know, it is World of Color. So there's a lot of bright colors. There's music. It's kind of like Fantasmic in that it's a show with lights over the water and it's colorful and it's beautiful, but it's not like he's not fighting anybody, villains like as at Fantasmic. I don't know. I was trying to comparison for you, but maybe not. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful. I would highly recommend it. I took some videos of it. I may or may not have posted some. I believe I posted a little bit maybe on my Facebook page for people to see so they could enjoy a little bit of it.
Is that the only nighttime show you got to see?
Yeah, I saw a little tiny bit of the one in Disneyland, and I'm drawing a blank of what the name of the show is.
The fireworks?
It was not fireworks. It was Mickey and Minnie something. And it was not Fantasmic, because I didn't get to see that, because that's more of like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. Now I'm going to be looking it up. World of Color is the one that's at California Adventure that I was able to see at night. Mm-hmm. Which again, like at Disney World, they've got some private viewing areas. So you can kind of do that as a fast pass and have a little private viewing, a little bit like an area that's kind of set aside. So you're not having to fight for space to stand, which is nice.
When we were there, this was a while ago, my kids were pretty small. We did like a dining package where we ate dinner at one of the restaurants or lunch. And then we had a special viewing area because we had that special dinner. Do they still do that? Like the lunch things?
I'm trying to think if, I don't know that they do. I'm not 100% sure if they do or not.
They do. A client actually is.
They do. Okay. Cause yeah.
I know Lindsay and I did it for Fantasmic.
Okay. Yeah. And I know they do it for that, but I didn't know for World of Color.
Yeah, it's hard to see all the shows you kind of need 3 nights if you want to see all the nighttime stuff. So,
yes, because some of the lands change at night. So, for example, Cars Land, which they do not have in Disney World, and it is amazing. I mean, wow, I became a car that night or that day. But I mean, if you go at dusk as the you know, it's starting to get dark at night. The lights are lighting up. It's starting to glow and be neon. So definitely just to kind of take in things at night different perspective than when you've been there in the day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that three to four day park hopper, worth it.
That definitely. Nighttime show was called Mickey's Mixed Magic.
Yes, that sounds right, because it was a lot of Mickey and Minnie. Yes.
The Google never lies.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you.
I wonder if it'll be there when we go.
So how was the food, Kristen?
The food was good. Unfortunately, because I was there for, invited by Disney, I didn't get to choose as much where I was able to eat. We did go to the Wine Country restaurant. However, I didn't get to order off the menu, and I was quite sad. So what we had was not probably authentic of what, a guest would have eaten. We did go to Tortilla Joe's. Yes, Tortilla Joe's. And it was good. I mean, it's very authentic Mexican food. It was good. It's in downtown Disney District. We were able to go to Goofy's Kitchen, which I love character meals when I'm at Disney World. So that thrilled my heart a lot. That food was really good. It was like Chef Mickey's, but actually had a make your own omelet station.
Ooh.
So that was cool. I mean, I was like, okay, this is worth the money to come and do and enjoy. That was super fun.
And did you get a Dole Whip?
I don't like Dole Whip.
I was going to say.
I know. I'm sorry. Sorry. But I saw them there. They have them. Yes. I ate a Mickey pretzel.
Yay. I don't like Dole Whips.
Yes.
You're fine. Did you have a corn dog? Do you do corn dogs?
I did not, but I know plenty of other people that were with me that did have corn dogs, and they were quite impressed with how amazing they are. Churros, too. What is it, churros in Disneyland? I mean, that was another hot thing that everybody was definitely, corn dogs and churros.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Some champions.
Yes, exactly. Why not, right? we did go to, of course, get some beignets right outside the New Orleans Square area. In Disneyland Park, and that was really cool. You kind of felt like you were in the French quarters for a moment, kind of separated from being actually in Disneyland. It was really cool.
Another food that's legendary there is the Monte Cristo sandwich there at Blue Bayou, which it's so funny because my mother, that was her favorite sandwich. It's probably the most caloric sandwich you could possibly eat.
Isn't it deep?
Oh, I love them, but yeah, you can only eat a little bit.
Well, you can eat a lot, but you will regret it.
Well, especially if you're going on a roller coaster afterwards.
Yes. Watch what you eat. So I did find that they do have a lot of bread bowls, soup and bread bowls there. I don't know if that was the time of the year, but they made.
I can't imagine.
I know. Well, I was like, this is weird, but there are multiple places. There's a place in California Adventure that you can walk through to learn about how they they make bread and stuff. So that was kind of cool. And then there's a restaurant, kind of a quick service style restaurant that has bread bowls, and they were really good. And the soup was really good. So I don't know. I saw that in both parks. So I thought that was interesting. Bread bowls.
Fox would love it.
Disneyland. Yeah,
I think in California Adventure, it's sourdough bread, right? Because that's San Francisco is famous for their
sourdough
bread. So that's
So they're tying in the whole aspect of, keeping it local, and they are very, locals are very prideful. This is their park.
Speaking of that, did you do Soaring?
I did, yes.
What did you do?
Well, it's the same as Disney World. So that was really cool. I was like, okay, I feel like I'm at home. I enjoyed it. I love Soarin' anyway. So
did you do the Mickey's Fun Wheel?
Good for you.
Absolutely not. Listen, that is the one thing I'm scared of Ferris wheels. I will ride just anything. I rule any roller coaster. I would not get on Ferris wheel. My mother traumatized me, I think, as a child.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just a Ferris wheel. It's like a Ferris wheel to the next level because, they've got some that don't move, like just barely. And then the ones that they really move.
Yeah.
And somehow I would have gotten on that by mistake.
Well, I think you can choose.
You have to get a specific.
Yeah. You can definitely tell them which one, but
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think what you were trying to say is it's a Ferris wheel from hell. I believe that's what you.
Yes, yes, that's exactly, yes. I look at it and I'm like, that's way too scary. That's a nightmare for me right there.
But yeah. The views up there are amazing.
I wasn't looking because I was hiding.
Never, ever.
Why are there not seatbelts on this?
Get me off this thing.
Okay, you can stop.
Send the GoPro in with the brave Outlander.
I'll do it again next year. I'll do it next year because I haven't done it. When I did it, it was like sick.
I'll go with you.
She's the screen set off though. Oh my God. I mean, we should have
done, but. So speaking of screams, the former California Screamin' and Credit Coaster, did you do that?
I certainly did twice. Why? Because I had a fast pass. Fantastic ride. I love it. I loved it. I love that it's incredible theme. I think that's, you know, appealing to a lot of people around right now because it's super big right now. But it's a really great ride. Definitely, definitely ride it.
It's funny too, because you would think, well, how are they going to theme a roller coaster? You know, because once you're on the ride, you're just, but no, it's themed all
through. Yeah, you're riding the ride, but it's really cool. Like, I mean, Jack, so basically, you know, the premise is the baby, Edna is watching the baby. Well, of course, he gets away from her, right? So then we have to go and get the baby back. I mean, it's really cool. So you even, like, as you're going through it, you have to pay attention to lots of little details, right, that Disney is really good at doing, that you actually smell those cookie num-nums as you're going through the ride. And then, of course, when you get off the ride, guess what you can buy? Cookie num-nums. So chocolate chip cookies. It's really cool. It's a really fun ride.
Excellent.
Did you ride the Guardians of the Galaxy?
I certainly did. And, you know, so I like Tower of Terror. I remember it used to be Tower of Terror. So I was expecting the same thing, and it wasn't. Like, it totally, I was like, are we falling again? Again? Like, for real? This is not over yet. How many times? But it's super fun. I definitely recommend riding it.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Sure.
Breakout. That's what's
cool. Yeah.
Breakout. Oh, there you go.
Yes. Well done. Yeah, Breakout. Yes. Brings off Galaxy Breakout.
You did either that do not exist at Walt Disney World or that exist, but in a slightly different or very different form. What is the one thing you wish they would bring over to Walt Disney World so you can do it more times?
Oh my goodness. Cars Land, probably.
Okay. That's kind of cheap.
Man, that.
But okay.
Yes. Yes. I would say Cars Land or even Pixar Pier. So Pixar Pier is the one that now has, you know, the Incredicoaster, has the emotional from Inside Out Island or whatever. So that's kind of cool. The Pixar Pier itself, just to have that roller coaster would be really cool to have over there too. But yeah, Cars Land, I think definitely Disney World, it would go over very, very well at Disney World.
Was Indiana Jones open?
Indiana Jones, the ride was open. You know, it's a ride, not a show.
Oh, yeah.
That was so cool to me. Yes. Thanks for bringing that up, George, because that was a little surprise for me. I didn't realize it was a ride until I got there, and I was like, this is amazing. I really like this. Think what other rides just really caught me off guard. Of course, I did all the, I mean, I rode everything that I could get on, right? I like that, like, you know, Nemo is actually a submarine, kind of like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So, you know, I got to get submerged in the water. It was cool. It was really cool. Of course, like, you know, Splash Mountain, okay, that's at both Land and World. I'm partial to World on that one. I like it better at Disney World than Disneyland. That's just because I think it's my childhood memory. Pirates I thought was better at Disneyland. I actually got to see Haunted Mansion still had the overlay of Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm so excited.
And that was
September.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. I really, really like that a lot. I mean, I thought my kids would really enjoy this. I mean, not that Haunted Mansion is that scary, but it definitely was super, it was definitely not scary at all in any way, shape or form with it having Jack Skeleton in there and just all those characters that you would recognize from the story. That was cool. I was glad that was still up and running.
Did they have, for a Jungle Cruise, did they have the Jingle Cruise there?
No. Well, by the time I got there, no. So it was the regular Jungle Cruise going on. And it was very similar to Disney World too. And I enjoyed it, of course. I love it. I think it's funny at Disney World. So of course I had to give it a gander at Disneyland.
I'm just going to go on record and say that movie actually looks pretty decent.
Oh, we'll go see that movie.
I think I'm going to go, yeah, see, let's it. Go see it.
Don't curse. Well, we're going to have to go see it now.
Yeah. Did you ride the Matterhorn?
I did multiple times, actually, and I love it. Actually, that's another ride that Disney World needs to have.
Yeah.
Because that's good, but that's iconic, too. I mean, like, Disneyland, that's just what you think of.
Did you ride it at night?
One of the rides. Did I ride at night? I think I rode it, like, at dusk or whatever, but not, like, at nighttime, though.
At night, when it kind of intensifies the Yeti, like, kind stomping scary, around. Yeah. It's cool.
So part of the reason
I thought the Yeti was really good.
Part of the reason I asked you that is I think so many people think, well, why would I go to Disneyland? It's just a smaller version of Disney World. But I think we just drew attention to the fact that there's a lot, surprisingly a lot that's different. But it's weird because when you step into Disneyland, you kind of feel familiar, like if you're a Walt Disney person. But then you start walking through, and I will never forget, we were riding Pirates at Disneyland, and my kids, who were still very young at the time, but had been to Disney World several times, halfway through the ride, and it's long, they turn to me and they're like, we have been getting ripped off. They're like, this isn't even halfway over yet.
That's awesome. No, it is just different, but it's true. You kind of walk down Main Street, you know, in Disneyland, of course, you're walking down Main Street and you're like, I feel so familiar. Like, I've been here. How have I been here but not been here? And then you go, okay, Disney World, very similar. But then you see the castle and you're like, okay, this is different. This is not Disney World. This is Disneyland. Yeah. But they do such a great job of keeping some things the same and having so many things different. So I know I said it earlier when you asked, should you do both? Absolutely. I mean, if you can get to California, go. And Disneyland does a great job of, maybe you're not just going to see Disneyland, but maybe you're going to add some of those other things. You know, you're going to maybe go see the San Diego Zoo or Universal, or maybe you're cruising out on a Disney cruise, you know, that kind of thing. So to add just a few days at Disneyland, just kind of that, you know, add on. Or like I said, they work really good together. Yeah,
that's actually what I'm taking Finley to L.A. for spring break. That's where he wanted to go. He wanted to go shopping and he actually wanted to see some movie studios, but we're going to Disneyland for a day, you know?
Sounds good. Yeah, fantastic.
Well, originally he said he didn't want to, but now he wants to go.
Yeah.
Now he's game for it now.
Yeah. I wish he had said something earlier because now I can't get a hotel room, so I'm on a wait list.
There's a lot of hotels around there though.
Yeah, but it's okay.
They have only three hotels at the resort, yes. But then they've got a lot of good neighbor hotels that you can.
Yes. And the good neighbor hotels. So maybe you can't afford one of those because it's not like Disney World where they do kind of try to meet all those, maybe those brackets of what you can do financially. So maybe you can't stay in one of those three resorts. Well, there are plenty of good neighbor hotels that are local close by. You know, if you book a package, like you contacted one of us and you want to book a whole Disneyland package with a good neighbor hotel, they also have perks. So, you know, depending on where you're staying, the transportation, if you do a package again, may be included with a shuttle through their ARC transportation. Now, if you don't book it by a package, it's not going to be included. So you're going to be paying extra. Same thing with, like, you know, if you want those extra magic hours. You get one day, if you're at a good neighbor hotel, you get one day that you can choose to go to the Disneyland park early. Now, you cannot do extra magic hours for California Adventure unless you are staying on property at Disneyland in one of those three resorts. But certainly, if those don't fit your budget, then those good neighbor hotels are definitely going to offer some of those things that you might want. And that's just kind of something you got to look through.
We're still within walking distance, which is a weird many.
Yeah. And some of them have views of the nighttime shows.
Yeah.
So you actually can get a theme park view from a hotel that's maybe not, quote, on property, right, but they're still good neighbor hotels. Absolutely.
So can you talk really briefly about the three hotels that are on property and the sort of differences and, you know, price ranges, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So the Grand Californian is going to be kind of your top of the line, your deluxe, really nice. Hasn't been around as long as the others. And it's going to have your spa in it. So it's going to be that nicer hotel line. They actually, with that hotel, what's really cool is that they have a separate private entrance for hotel guests only into the California Adventure Park. So you don't even have to go except for a few steps out of your hotel room and down and into that. Of course, they have all different types of rooms that they can accommodate guests in, up to even a concierge level if you would like to enjoy that. Then we've got Disneyland Hotel, which is the one that I stayed in, that has the three different towers that are kind of themed after the park itself. That's the cool iconic hotel. The cool thing about that is you get to have access to the monorail during magic hours at the start of the day, and you can take the monorail into Fantasyland and enjoy starting the park in there. It too has typically suites four to five. They have a little bit bigger suites also available for guests, and they also offer concierge level suites. Then we've got the Paradise Pier, which the Paradise Pier is going to be more your economical type hotel. So maybe those that kind of want to stay on property, but they can't afford those topper lines. And those types of rooms is a very beachy themed hotel. And they also go on up to concierge level, club level, if you would like to stay at that.
And learn the secret.
That hotel is a little bit further. I say further out. When I say further out, it's not like Disney World further out. It's a different walk. It may be like a 10 to 15 minute walk versus some of them. So
one of the cool things about that hotel, though, is from some of the rooms, you can see the theme park. So actually, in some cases, a better view of the park than you do.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. You can on the top of the Paradise Pier Hotel, where the pool is a great viewing area for the fireworks show. So even if you're not staying there, you can actually go and watch it. But a lot of the guests staying at that hotel will go out and actually watch the fireworks right there. It's really cool. The pool is actually on top of the roof. So, well, I'm not top of the roof, but on, you know, up higher. Yes.
So it's worth mentioning, you mentioned that it's more economical, but it's still a $400 to $500 a night hotel. You know, there's not like a value.
Right, right. It's economical, not right in the sense of like a value resort. It's probably like a right higher end moderate, you know, resort. Yeah, it is.
Actually,
it's more pricey than overall the on-property resorts are more pricey than Disney World. Yeah. But
well, it is California.
But also there's supply and demand. There's much fewer hotel rooms on property, so you know, they price them up. Mm-hmm. And they sell out. They will sell out, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, especially with Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely, of course, having stayed on site, I'm a big on-siter at Disney World. So, of course, I'm always going to look to stay on site Disneyland. The convenience, again, so easy. I mean, you know, and having those magic hours, staying at those three resorts, you get magic hours every morning. And that's kind of crucial. I mean, I was able to get four rides in that hour time frame. I could have gotten five, but I had to get to a meeting by 9. So, you know, I mean, priorities, right? So, I mean, that's pretty good considering, you know, how much time, just using your time wisely in that hour that you get to do that.
Yeah. I'm impressed that you went to the parks and got four rides in before your 9 o'clock.
Because seriously, Walt Disney World is very difficult.
Well, they definitely encouraged us to do that because they wanted us to see how that magic hour works.
Right.
And how it is, because there's only three properties that all can come in. And then, like I said, if you're staying at a good neighbor, you can choose one day out of your tickets to come for only at Disneyland Park. Mm-hmm. So it shows you that, okay, the crowds are pretty low during that time. And also, here's the thing. As soon as I go through and I activate my ticket, I can go get my Max Pass started, my Fast Passes started. So even though I knew I was going to be in a meeting at, from 9 to 10 or 11, let's say, I could go ahead and get my Fast Pass for 11 or 12 o'clock, whatever was available. So as soon as you activate it, you're starting your Fast Passes. So it's kind of that nice, you're going to hour head jump on everybody else to do what you want to do for the day.
When you do Max Pass, and I haven't done it yet, so I know some of you have, can you choose your time? Like, can you say, I want to get a Fast Pass for Space Mountain, and they offer you 10 o'clock, and you're like, no, I'm going to be busy at 10 o'clock, so I want to do 11:30 or 12. Like, you can when you set up your Fast Pass.
No, unfortunately. But we did find this because we would... So what I would do, I say we, because there was a group of us that kind of ended up going together, which was nice because then you got to see how the fast passes work together, essentially. What we would do is you would go in and we'd say, okay, we don't want it 11. So you'd tap back out and go back in. Okay, do they have it? No. So tap back. You could kind of refresh it and then see if you could tweak to get your time. But they wouldn't at 9 o'clock. They're not giving you fast passes for 2 o'clock.
Okay.
They're giving you within that morning time frame. And then as the day progresses, the fast passes get later and later.
So it's just like buying tickets because you're doing it on your phone.
Exactly.
Instead of,
yeah. And it is
spots. Yes.
Ticket ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is our show this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. And you can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. And we'd love to hear from you. Once again, we want to thank Kristen for coming onto the show. To share her wonderful Disneyland experience. So on behalf of George, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.